Now, so we're talking about the power of prayer here. How does it come to become very strong? There's one word I've used in previous times. I picked it up from physics, and that's the word resonance. What do I call it? Resonance. For those of you who studied physics, who are still studying physics, you will know the meaning of the word resonance. And for those of you who ran away from physics in secondary school, it has caught up with you again today. Now, those days, what they taught us was, what is resonance? Resonance is when the natural frequency of a particular object or something, it's matched by the frequency of the force that is acting upon it, right? Something like that. For example, if the natural... you know the way it is. When you want to push a car, have you noticed it? You push up a bit, you release it. Just two guys, you want to push a car up maybe a small hill. You want to roll it over something. When you push it once, you guys exert all your energy. You push, the thing doesn't move. So what do? You let it roll. It goes back. Then once it's about to swing forward, you give it a bit of push. It rolls back. You keep on giving a bit of push. The more you do that, the farther the car goes. Finally, you give one shove and it's over. What happened was that each time you push, you are matching the frequency with which the car was rocking by itself. So that with the amplitude of vibration, all right? The amplitude of oscillation keeps increasing. That's the way it is. And like my teacher in A-level said, that's when they were in the army. I don't know whether I was ever in the army or just making a fool of us. That you're not, soldiers don't march across a bridge. Yeah, you know, soldiers can be marching on the road. When you get to a bridge, as a rule, you must scatter. You have to walk at random across because there's a small chance that your pace of marching may rhyme with the natural frequency of the bridge. Next thing you know, all of you are inside the water. Yeah. Now, this is a spiritual application of it. If the natural frequency, is that okay? Of your desires match with that of God's purpose in heaven, then great power is released on the earth. Let me put it the other way, simpler, to make it easier. If what you want done on the earth is exactly what God wants done, then the two will unite and there will be a great release of the power of God. And that's exactly why God calls people and trains them first. That's why he has not been giving you everything you have been asking for. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. No, that's the way he works. That's why he hasn't... Look, you know what he did with Abraham? Oh, go and read that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I explained it there. He worked on the desires of Abraham so that both what Abraham wanted and what he wanted were the same. After that, every word that Abraham will utter, we have power. And that's why God has not been granting everything we have been asking for because a number of issues. One, those things are not exactly in accordance with his will. And secondly, please listen to this. The fact that you pray for something, God didn't give it to you, doesn't mean God does not answer prayers. Do I need to prove it? No, I don't need to. You know. Taisho Lari committed one of the silliest, I was going to say errors. No, let me revise it. He cracked one of the silliest jokes in Nigeria and took it serious. That doesn't believe in God because one day he asked God for something and God didn't give it to him. Therefore, God is not there. So what kind of joker is this? How many things have my son asked me for and I have refused? Does it mean I don't exist anymore? You know, he will just sit down and people are watching Secrets and Truths on TV. He says, see that man preaching? He does not exist. He is not there. You know how I know? He said, but we are looking at him. He said, wait. Yesterday I asked to follow him to Bible study where he preaches, many people are watching. And he said no. So I decided that he's no longer there. You know, that doesn't make sense. And that's what Taisho Lari did. Now, God doesn't always grant the things we ask. So one of the reasons is simple. That's what I want to emphasize. Is that he's trying to train us in what to ask for. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. He's trying to train us so that we get to a particular place where the primary concern, so that when we gather like this, it is not, let us pray that tomorrow there shall be food. I don't know whether you hear what I said. What you know what he said? Let's take it for granted that as long as God is in heaven, there will be food tomorrow. Are you following what I'm trying to explain? He said, let's take it for granted that as long as God is in heaven, there will be food for tomorrow. So when we gather together, let us now find out what exactly he wants done on the earth. And then we ask him concerning that, and we will discover that thing will be done. Let me say one more thing about agreements, as agreeing with ourselves. Before I say that, let me just say why I'm saying all of these things. You know, I was in my office today and we're discussing again. And if I was somewhere yesterday visiting, today is what, Tuesday, on Sunday, and somebody was asking me questions, so we're discussing all these things. And one thing that comes up again and again is that there are so many churches in Nigeria. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the people are not, the country is not changing. There are so many people who go to church, we don't see righteousness in there. There are so many people who do this. I told somebody, I said, the truth is that God is not counting the number of buildings or the number of congregations. Do you understand my point? Or the number of people that claim that they go to those places. What is counting, you will see as we go on, is very different from that. Now, this point I'm making, you will discover that most Christians don't pray righteous prayers as far as the nation is concerned. Now, I don't mean that to insult anybody or to say some people are bad and I am good. This is a matter of fact. Most Christians don't pray righteous prayers as far as the nation is concerned. I was somewhere one day and a big man of God, the head of one big denomination, well, not one of the bigger ones, all right? But there are many branches everywhere, big man. And he came and he was speaking. And he said, they were talking about the matter of the nation, that the entity we call Nigeria really doesn't exist as far as God is concerned. That was an imagination of a colonial master. And he went and he was talking like this on the pulpit. And you see, that kind of person will gather and pray for the country. Listen, anytime you see something that is wrong, all right, just know that God is displeased. There's a scripture I want us to quickly read. You get the point I'm going to make. All right, Isaiah chapter 59. And I can't read everything. We'll see really later on as we go on these our studies. From chapter 1, from verse 1, it said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear." The problem, he said, is your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. So let me just switch to my normal translation, please. It said, "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity." That's verse 3. "Your lips have spoken falsehood, and described all the evil that was going on in the land." Now, he described all this evil. Let me just jump down to verse 7 so we can save time. It said, "Their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace." Now, this is a summary, verse 9. "Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us." Now, just imagine our society in Nigeria of today, and try and see whether these things I'm describing, all right, are occurring. He said, "We grow for light, but behold, what do we find? Darkness." It's almost literal when it comes to Nepal and Nigeria. "For brightness, but we walk in gloom." He said, "We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as if in the night, in the twilight. Amongst those who are vigorous, we are like dead men." Now, please, like I said, we'll read this later. I just want to get down somewhere. He said, "For our transgression are multiplied before thee." I just want to jump down. Let's jump to verse 14. We'll still read it another time. "And justice is turned back." This is a consequence of everything that's been happening. "And righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking. And he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey." That is, anybody who refuses to do what is going on in the land is the one that people feed upon. Do you get the point I'm making here? All right. He said, now the way I'm going actually is the next line. He said, "Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own right arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him." Now, please, let's stop there. What I want to just bring out from that is that word. "Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight. And it was displeasing that there was no justice." Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It was displeasing in God's sight that there was no justice. I'm bringing out something. Anytime something is wrong, do you get my point? God is displeased. And what starts astonishing him is that there's nobody to make any amends. There's a reason why I'm saying this. because I've heard all kinds of nonsense. We're talking about people gathering to pray. I've heard people say, in fact, that the lady who told me this, I was very angry. I was just sharing with her the way I'm discussing with you now. I was talking about the reason why Christians should pray. This was when Nigeria was going through a lot of crisis, shortly after June 12th and all of that. So I said, that's why we should pray as a nation and the church should rise up and pray. You know what this young woman told me? She's been going to a church, maybe, where they were told, no, I don't think so. Because I heard our pastor talk another time and that was not what he said. Anyway, what she said was that, Pastor Banky, I think all these things are a sign of the end time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All these things are what? A sign of the end time. I looked at her and said, apparently, this is your own Jesus Christ is only going to come back in Nigeria. He will not come back in developed countries. I said, this is your Jesus Christ will come back in Nigeria. He won't come back in South Korea. Who at that time, they were making serious advancements in their economy. Things were looking up. I said, this is your Jesus Christ. Apparently, he has chosen to come back only into this corner of Africa. That's why people are having turmoil. I'm talking about unity. Are you getting what I mean by agreement? Why we will, it's not that I will go to church. There are churches that they have major prayer testimonies. Praise God. I finally got my visa. It's a major testimony. You are going to sow a seed towards the issuing of your visa. How many of you have played green card? Before you submit it, bring it here. You put an offering with it and swear, God, when I get to America. It sounds funny. People do these kind of things. You can gather all you want. You're not praying for the country. You see what I'm not explaining? Talking about agreement. The number one thing, all right? I said before that the number one weapon God gave us is what? Prayer. Listen to me. There is no problem that you can identify that God will not solve if you will, in agreement, pray and pray persistently. There's some we're not going to spend all the time today, all right, talking. I just want to introduce this whole thing to us, all right? We're going to pray a bit, and I want us to always close on time. So people will be eager to come back next time. For information, if you're a pastor of a church, no matter how good your church is, if you don't close on time, it's not good. If you want people to come regularly, close on time, all right? So that's why I try my best to always close on time, all right? I know if I continue, people will say, Pastor, ride on. There are those who don't want to go home anyway. All right, so I want us to still pray a bit and then still close on time. So I'll quickly round up what I'm trying to explain. All right, so what I'm explaining to all of this is, I want to summarize that now, is that issue of agreement. Number one, please, let's understand something about the potency of prayer. We are going to locate the right purpose. That's what the will of God is. Some people say, okay, let us pray till God shows us his will. That is good under certain circumstances. Under most circumstances, it is clear. Are you getting my point? Once it is not selfish and it's a good thing, that's the will of God. That's praying in accordance with his will. I was bringing this issue about when Jesus said, when two of you shall agree. The problem we have is that I guess we are too many praying. Sometimes we are so many that there's no point. We'll be in discordance. You know what I'm trying to say? Especially when you give a prayer point and everybody scatters. You know what I'm trying to say? That, okay, now we are going to pray that Nigeria will be good. Somebody will say, God, you know what you're going to do? You're going to cut this knot from Nigeria so that they won't trouble us again. Somebody's praying on the other side. Say, you know what I'm going to do? In Niger Delta, we must have resource control. Resource control. As far as it's concerned, that is goodness in Nigeria. And somebody in Enugu will say, God, marginalization has gone on for too long. It is time the Igbo man produce the president. After a while, God say, my God, what's going on here? Look, listen, I'm trying to tell you that that's the reason why the Church of God has had no, you know what I mean, impact. Everybody is, you know the way we scatter physically when we are praying? That's how our hearts actually scatter. So right now, we're going to pray for the nation. Everybody say, hey God, the Nepal MD, kill him. And he doesn't know that the guy is actually his cousin, that, you know what I'm saying? And that it's not the man's fault. Ah, God, you see this current IG? Hey, wanting to make him an example of what? That's why, listen, we'll pray and pray, keep up awake all night. But God is not shifting in his throne. Because as far as it's concerned, we are not saying anything. That is why, when we are praying for the nation, nobody is scattering. You know what I said? Nobody is scattering. When I will give prayer point, everybody will disappear. No. You will stay right there and you will open your ears. The Bible said, draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's amen. Because inside the prayers will be teaching instruction on how to pray. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. Very important. That's why today I'm talking about the principle of agreement. Number one, agreeing with one another. Especially, you see, the issue of agreeing together is crucial. That's agreeing with one another before we even talk about, well, let me be like this. Agreeing with God and agreeing with one another as we agree with God is crucial when we are praying about things that concern all of us. For example, security in our state. Do you get my point? Enugu is our state. You know, these are our roads. We will pray they will never spoil. You think I'm joking? I'm serious about it. That was not supposed to be. Just supposed to be an amen. Did I hear an amen? We will pray that our governors will only get better in this state. Did I hear an amen? We will pray a prayer that will dissolve. Listen to this. The current power policy in Nigeria is not good. We will pray a prayer that will dissolve it and install the good one. Because you will discover, we will continue to pray. States that have the capacity will begin to build their own power plants. And listen to me. Government can say what they want. If here, listen to what I want to say. If here, we give a date, all right, and pray towards that date, you will see uninterrupted power supply in Nigeria. Do you know why our power has been interrupted? Because our prayer has been interrupted. There's nothing good on this earth that comes by chance. People like you and I will decide. That's what they call the principle of remnants. What's remnants? Let me just say that in 2 minutes, 1 minute, and I leave here. Remnants just means that there may be 1 million people talking, and God is leading to only 20. Do you hear what I said? So that Jesus might be born in a particular place. One person was supposed to be born. The whole nation had to move up and down. Did you know that? So that Jesus might be born in Bethlehem. To move Jesus to Bethlehem, a decree was issued. To move Joseph and his family, Jacob and his family to Egypt, the whole land went into famine. Are you getting my point? I like the way my pastor in Lagos, then Pastor Podu, described the word prophet. He said, he suffered no man to do them harm, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet, what? No harm. We thought that it meant that any man who's prophesying, don't do him any harm. No. He said the prophets of God are the people that God shaped the events of the earth around. When he says, saying, touch them not my anointed, we're talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his sons. What am I saying? Don't think that everybody that go to church on Sunday, half of whom don't believe in God, will suddenly one day agree. No. I'm saying that out of 1 million gathered, God can say, I only hear like 300 voices here. And if those 300 voices we agree, then indeed there will be a manifestation of my power. Do you understand that point? I hope you understand that point. That's the principle of remnants. All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I hope you've learned something today. All right. For just a few minutes, can we just rise to our feet? Let us pray. What we're just going to do. All right. Can we just bow down our heads? And first thing I want us to do is to give God the Lord thanks. I want us to acknowledge him for his goodness. Say, Father, we thank you because you are so good. For the privilege of knowing you, for the privilege of being able to draw near to you, we say thank you. I've heard it said, men like Buddha suffered and suffered because they wanted enlightenment. We've heard men who will pray 5 times a day, putting their heads on the floor because they want God to be happy with them. I don't have to go through all of that. All I need is faith in Christ Jesus. People have done all kinds of things, disciplining their bodies, their flesh. All you need to do, brethren, is just watch TV during the Easter period in the Philippines. You see men pushing pins through their body, being dragged by their hair, being dragged on the floor because they want to suffer with Christ. They say, Lord, I thank you. I don't have to do that. All I need is to be obedient to you. All I need is my faith in Christ Jesus. And because you have caused my heart to believe, I say thank you. In the name of Jesus, we acknowledge you for the privilege that we have in this season to walk with you, to walk with you, and to work with you. That is, agreeing with you and declaring your purpose on the earth. I thank you, Lord, for that privilege. Let's just thank him. Say, Lord, we worship you. You are so good. Because of the righteousness that's in Christ Jesus, we thank you. Because my sins have been washed away. Because no sinful man can approach unto your throne. I thank you because in Jesus Christ I have been redeemed. The blood of Jesus has washed away all my sins. I thank you because the blood of Jesus has made me able to draw near to you. I thank you because I am clean and pure in your presence. I thank you because my words are not words of iniquity in your presence. And my prayers are not abominations before you. But Jesus has reconciled me because of my faith in him and because of his sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. It is well with my soul. I have a relationship with you. It is well with me. Not only are my needs supplied, I am able to make intercessions and petitions for other people's needs. I am highly esteemed in the presence of God. Yes, the faith I have in Christ Jesus has made me an important person. Let's just give the Lord thanks. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. I'll just give you a few minutes. Just use your own words. Just say, Father, I thank you. This is what you have done for me. Pastor Bank doesn't know about that. This is my own personal thing. You brought me out from here, and this is where I am today. I used to be like this. I'm not like that anymore. Like Paul said, I boast in what the cross of Christ has done in me. Let's just give him thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Please, I want to read one portion of the scriptures out to us. It's a prayer that those days one will read Kenneth Hagin. And very good. I'm going to leave this for you as a prayer point. That's one thing. Every week we'll have a prayer point. And I'll leave you to pray that the whole week. Is that okay? Until we come back. Every day. I mean, just a few minutes every day. Added to what you will pray normally. But because we are beginning on a journey, we are starting a project, all right, of learning and then effectively praying. There's something Kenneth Hagin used to teach us those days when we read his materials, and it was such a blessing. And I'm going to read from the book of Ephesians chapter 1. He said this was a prayer he prayed, and it helped him tremendously. God opened his eyes so that he could understand. He said, the Bible says that draw near to listen. He said, watch your steps when you approach the temple of God. He said, draw near to listen. Rather than offering the sacrifice of fools. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 5. All right? The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. That's what he said. Now, so it's important that we come to grab understanding. It's important that we come to know first before we speak. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? It's not just to gather to church, everybody talk, pray, and say we have prayed. No. It's important we get to have understanding. So Kenneth Hagin taught us then, and I use it a lot, to pray that God will give first. All right? That's what we're discussing now. Each one of us understanding. So I'll read from the book of Ephesians chapter... Open your Bibles, everybody. If you have your Bible, just quickly just open to Ephesians chapter 1. This was a prayer Paul used to pray for the Ephesians. And Kenneth Hagin said that he prayed it for himself. And he prayed it for other people also. And he felt the effect in his own life. That was the first one he talked about. So tremendously that he wondered. He learned more in a few months than he had learned in all the many previous years of ministry. And as young believers also, we prayed that prayer continually, and I still pray it occasionally for myself. Now, this is from verse, if you read from verse 15, that's where the context. Paul said that, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists amongst you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you, while making mention of you in my prayers. What's the prayer? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart or the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Let's just stop it there. I would like to read that first from Now, what you are going to do, all right, while you pray this prayer for yourself is simple. This is how Kenneth Hagin taught us then in his materials, and I think we should do the same thing. He said, you pray for yourself, you pray like this, it's simple to work out. He said, Lord, I am praying, all right, that you will give, I'm asking you, God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that you will give to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. I pray that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened, so that I may know the hope of your calling, and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. And what is the surpassing greatness of your power towards us who believe? I think it's simple. It's very simple. So let's just pray that prayer. You can read it out in your Bible. You don't have to cram it. I'll just explain what it just saying simply is that you may have understanding, that you may know how the word of God works, that you may know what God has done for you and the power available to you as a believer. So you'll not be running around in darkness like many people run around from pillar to post, but that God will give you understanding, that you might know him, understand his word, and know the proper words to use in prayer and what to do in the times of trouble. Use different words like that, okay? But pray prayers that you can understand. You can read simply from that portion of the scripture to be good. So let us pray. Say, Father, we pray. I pray, Father God, that you, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto everyone present here, Father God, tonight, a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you. I pray that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened so that we may know what is the hope of your calling and what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints. I pray, Lord, that we will understand what is the surpassing greatness of your power that works toward us who believe. And just, Father, we thank you. We give you thanks because you have heard us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm leaving that to you as a prayer point. Whichever way you like to do it, read it out every day. Before you begin to study, before you listen to a message, read it. You want to tune maybe to the Wheel of Success. Before you start, read it out. Do you get my point? You buy a book, you want to start reading it. Before you open the first chapter, read it. You understand this prayer. And you can switch from there into thanksgiving. Father, I thank you because you have heard me. I thank you because I have understanding. I thank you because insight has been given to me. I thank you because I am not confused. I thank you because I have the ability to understand your word. Do you understand that? In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, let's just give the Lord thanks for today. Let's close now. Like I said, we shouldn't stay. Just say, Father, we thank you for today. It's been a great day. It's the beginning of great things. So we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you because great things have begun today. We thank you because I will witness the demonstration of your power in my life, in the lives of my friends, in the life of my brethren, in the lives of those that I love, and in the life of my nation. In this nation, I will see your goodness. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we give you thanks because you are so good. I declare upon everyone present here today, Lord, that your mercy, your favor will follow them the rest of this week in the name of Jesus Christ. That insight and understanding you will use to lead them in righteousness this week in the name of Jesus Christ. That their faith, Father God, will rest totally upon you. It will rest on you alone in the name of Jesus. Everybody, can you just put up your right hand? Just declare. I want us to just declare. Say, in the name of Jesus, safety is my portion. In the name of Jesus, I will not lack. Say, in the name of Jesus, all the provisions I need in life are supplied. I'm not like the Gentiles worried about tomorrow. But I know that my Lord has tomorrow in his hands. He supplies my need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I am not confused. I'm a blessed man. I have direction. I know where I'm going. The Holy Spirit is leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I declare safety upon my way. Everywhere I step, devil moves back. As I advance, evil moves back. I am not afraid of the devil. I'm above and I'm not beneath. Say, he that is from above is above all. I have been born from above. Because of my faith in Jesus, I am above all. I'm above all the works of the enemy. I'm above sickness. I'm above failure. I'm above confusion. I am above premature death. I am above sin. I am more powerful than the temptations of the devil. My heart is totally yielded to Christ. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Therefore, I am above temptation. Therefore, I am above sin. Because I have set my love upon him, therefore he will deliver me. He will deliver me from all troubles. From the arrows that fly by day, I am delivered. I will not die before my time. I will not die before my time. In the name of Jesus Christ, I cancel every negative report of the doctor. I am the one that will spoil his statistics. You understand what that means? That is where he said I will have died, I will live and live far beyond anybody's expectation. Say it concerning yourself. Where I'm supposed to die, I will live far beyond their expectations. Because the spirit that raised Jesus Christ is dwelling in me. Because the spirit that raised Jesus Christ is quickening my mortal body. Father, I thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name. Now listen, one more thing. Declare, say, I am a minister of the gospel. I bring forth good news. I am a minister of good news. I spread the life of Christ everywhere I go. In my family, I prophesy peace. Listen, say that again. As I go home, I declare peace upon that home. I declare peace upon my father. I declare peace upon my mother. I declare peace upon my brothers and sisters. I declare peace upon my children, for those who have children. Okay, you don't have yet. See, I declare peace upon my children yet unborn. Poverty is gone. Lack is gone. I am an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Just wave your hand and say, Father, I thank you. Surely God's goodness and his mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the courts of God forever and ever. Amen. Amen. General brethren,